Today on Real Life Radio.
Those of you who are not Christians, you've only even got here this morning by the grace of God. You know, if your life is super blessed, it's because it says the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. But listen, if you're struggling, you've walked out from underneath that umbrella. Come back.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord made a way of escape, and He's ready to forgive with abundant mercy all those who come to Him. You see, when this kind of horror during the Great Tribulation is on the movie screen, we know it's not real, right? But the thought of such things really happening and the suffering, the judgment, and hell, that is real. It might be too much to bear. So why should we really care about what's going to happen in the end? Because as much as we don't want to hear about it, Jesus spoke about it. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that on our timeline towards the Great Tribulation, the church has long been taken out of the earth and is in heaven. Now the world is about 4 years into the 7-year peace accord. The temple's been rebuilt in Jerusalem, and Europe has become the religious and financial center of the world. That's when Satan and his demons will unleash hell, and no earthly power can save it. Now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says that Satan has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. We need to start giving credit where credit's due. You say, yeah, but a moment ago you said that God allows it. This is true. However, you walk out of the covering of God, and you're on your own. Those of you who are not Christians, you've only even got here this morning by the grace of God. You know, if your life is super blessed, it's because it says the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. But listen, if you're struggling, you've walked out from underneath that umbrella. Come back. Like we sang in that one song this morning, come back to God. Come back to Him. It's very important. Another thing that we want to look at this morning is the truth that Satan has fallen. Jesus says he's fallen from heaven as though lightning falls from heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke 10, 17. Then the 70, that is the disciples, as the disciples were growing, returned with joy. Jesus sent them out on an evangelistic mission, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isn't that cool? Church, listen, while the disciples were out ministering, Jesus in the Spirit, He saw Satan fall from heaven, suffering a great blow as ministry takes place. Isn't that cool? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Look, we're flanked by three major roads here. We've got the Pipeline Avenue, we've got Eucalyptus Avenue, and we've got a freeway going by. Don't you want to have Satan, if he's in a little spiritual car with some demons, drive either on any one of those roads? They drive by and go, oh man, stay away from that place. Those people rock for God. Keep going. Speed up quick. Let's put our helmets on. They're praying. Go, go, go. Oh, man, quick. Get off Eucalyptus Avenue. That's that church that sends people out in the missions fields. And people are starting churches. And they go down to Mexico. And they go to Germany. Go, 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 go. We don't want to even be around that place. Actually, they wouldn't say that. We don't want to be around that place. Ministry happens, Satan falls from heaven. I love it. Second thing we see here in verse 2, we're in verse 2. We've got a few minutes left. We're in verse 2. Okay, it's obvious what's going to not happen today. When hell meets earth, this creature personality will come and demonic activity will collide with this world. And listen, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit. Satan is given a key. By the way, I love the fact that Satan doesn't have the key. He has to be given the key. God allows this to take place. Why? Because the Bible says that God even uses evil to his own glory. That's power. Bible, make it very clear if you've read the book of Job. Nobody reads the book of Job unless you're going through a Job thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to read about it for fear it might come upon me. We're such good Hindus, you know? I don't want that kind of karma on me. Now, listen. The truth of the matter is, Satan could not get near Job until God said, okay, you are allowed to do this and this, but nothing else. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands this morning. You're Christians? Some of you are a little late on the decision there, thinking about it. Nothing, nothing, down to the breath you're breathing now, to the beat of your heart, to those of you who are able to raise your hands in all truth, you could not experience not only your heartbeat without the grace of God, and God given it to you and I, but no attack, no flat tire, no sickness, no stress, no problem in this world cannot come nigh unto us unless it is first filtered by our Heavenly Father. When I think on that, amen. When I think on that, I am encouraged. I am encouraged. My right arm now has half the strength it had. It's 50% off from my left arm for the rest of my life. I don't care because it's Father filtered. Whatever reason, God wants this to work this way. You might say, well, wait a minute. The surgeon told you to get an operation on. Yeah, but I had more surgeons say, don't get it operated on. And this is America, and so majority vote wins. Hey, how about that? No surgery. No, but even the guy that was saying, we need to cut in there. When I did my last strength test there at the orthopod's office, he said, listen, I'd be a fool to cut into that and create fallout from the surgery that you don't necessarily need to suffer. So let's just leave it alone. Well, that's to the glory of God. I don't understand you. So how can that be to the glory of God? I don't know. But I am thankful now. Even when I pick up little Jacobs like I did this morning, I got to hold them different now. Because I can't hold a baby in my right arm anymore. Whoa, poor thing. No, no. No, didn't Paul the Apostle say, wait a minute. It's through the sickness that I had and I asked God three times to heal me. God spoke to Paul and said, Paul, enough. Don't talk to me anymore about it. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace will be made and my strength will become perfect in your weakness, Paul. Okay, fine then. So listen, it's filtered by the Father. God gives Satan the keys. Look at verse 2. He opens the bottomless pit. Smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. That is tremendous. Wholesale demonic activity is about to break upon the earth. Now, before we end here for this morning, keep this in mind, four important things. If you're taking notes, before this wholesale demonic activity will come upon the earth in full scale, where are we in our Book of Revelation timeline? Number one, the church has long been raptured out of the earth and is in heaven by Revelation chapter 9. Number two, the world is about 4 years into that seven-year tribulation period, or for those of you who have been technical about it, at this point of demonic activity about to be released, Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, you can write in your margins, we are about 4 years into the seven-year peace treaty that Israel is under. Remember that? Those of you who are Bible students, the treaty will be 7 years in duration. This portion, Revelation 9, 2, tells us that we're about in the fourth year of that agreement. Number three, there has already been a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem by this time. Now that's interesting because we just came from Jerusalem. And the push to build the temple is all over the city. It's all over the nation. In fact, many, many Orthodox or extreme Orthodox Jews are believing and awaiting, they're saying any moment, their Messiah is going to arrive. Well, that gives you goosebumps if you think about how they're so ready to receive anyone who bring peace among the Jews and the Arabs. The Antichrist is going to do that, by the way, and allow them to build a temple. And the land is waiting. The land is there. Perhaps we'll talk about that and show images of that next time. They're waiting. Number four, Europe will have already become the religious and financial center of the world. That has to happen before we get to Revelation chapter 9. What's interesting is that we've got the euro that is shredding the U.S. dollar, by the way. We've got now the largest conglomerate of nations surpassing the United States in gross national product as of last week ago Saturday, when the European Union, the ancient Roman Empire, became the largest it's been since the Roman Empire, in the EU. And what's interesting is that there is a push, though they have declared no official religion, that is exactly in line with Scripture. Even still, though I think it's kind of a farce, the United States claims Christianity as its official religion. I think that's going to change in the matter of a few years. The European Union will not make such a statement. But we know from Scripture, the book of Revelation will tell us that the European Union will embrace a global faith. Everyone's worshiping the same God. Everyone goes the way they want to go. That you make it up, if you're sincere about it, if it's good for you, it's good for us too. What gives me chills to think about is the United Nations has an official religion. And that official religion of the United Nations is the Baha'i faith. You ever heard of that? An all-inclusive, everyone go their own way, be sincere religion. Before we get to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, in reality when it's coming, there'll be a temple in Jerusalem, there'll be a reunification of the ancient Roman Empire brought into power both financially, book of Revelation says, chapter 17 and chapter 18, in a religious sense as well. The church will have been raptured, okay? And there'll be about 4 years into the peace treaty that is soon coming to be signed with the nation of Israel and its surrounding neighbors. That's a very tremendous thing. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there are demons so bad, and there are fallen angels so bad that they're not even loose right now. God will not allow them to be loosed. And not only that, but think also that law enforcement will tell you that there's an increasing crime rate among those who claim satanic allegiance. There are more what's called ritualistic killings. Did you know that? They are going to homicides that are increasingly displaying not only was the person tortured, but they were subjected to demonic worship acts where they had pentagons carved into the floors. Are many people these days in ritualistic killings have got pentagons carved into their chests, into their foreheads, in these ritualistic killings? It's increasing. Did you know that many cities, law enforcement, have a cult investigation group when a murder scene is speaking of such a thing? It's getting so prevalent. Demonic increase is on the rise. Possession is being ruled out as psychological disorders. Now, don't get me wrong. There are psychological disorders, but not all psychological disorders are just simply chemical imbalances or whatever. Some of them we know for a fact are demonic in nature and increasing. But some demons, some fallen angels are so bad. Jude, verse 6. What chapter? It's only chapter 1. It's only one chapter. Jude chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own dwelling, that is heaven, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the day or for the judgment of the great day." That's the tribulation period. "Like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these." Listen to what he says. This is freaky weird. What is Sodom and Gomorrah and its surrounding cities guilty of? It says that they were guilty of going after sexual immorality and strange or unauthorized flesh. What? Wait a minute. Jude, you're talking about demons and fallen angels who are in chains right now, and they're in reserve until the day of judgment. And you're relating them to like those of Sodom and Gomorrah who were sexually immoral and went after strange flesh or unauthorized flesh. That's right. That is freaky weird. God said, for this, I'm going to send the flood. And he sends the flood. That ought to keep you up all night. Revelation 9:13, looking ahead. Revelation 9:13 says, when the sixth angel sounds, he says, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. These are fallen angels. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. Bad angels. Fallen angels. Demonic powers. Next week, we'll pick it up in verses 3 to verse 12, I hope. And I do have to say, this is absolutely amazing stuff. And for those of you who are visiting, you're really at a handicap because we've been going again, as I said, chapter 1 to verse 1 all the way through. And it makes sense to those who have been here. For those of you who just jumped in, then if the Lord is ministering to you, if God's speaking to you, and then maybe you can catch up by getting some of the previous teachings. The point this morning is, do you know Jesus Christ personally to escape these things? You say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen for a long time. So what are you going to do? You're going to A, outlive it, or B, die before it? That's not a relief. Because my friend, Jesus said, it's appointed unto every man who wants to die. The judgment comes. Jesus put it this way. All those who trust in the Son of God has passed from judgment into eternal life. That this morning, you need to make very sure that you know Jesus Christ personally. And I do not want you to leave today saying, well, I hope I'm going to be okay in the end. You can't do that. You can't guess. You must know. And so this morning, in your own heart, in your own mind, in all honesty, naked before you and your God, he knows the truth. And what's he saying right now? You might say, well, Jack, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak. Listen, some of you can hear him speak right now. It's a still, small voice inside of you. And the Lord is stirring you up right now, and he's saying, listen, and there's a little bit of anxiety to you right now. You're not sure. There's a little bit of fear about the conclusion of your life. And you're not sure. That is the Lord speaking to you now. Make sure. Don't leave today without being sure. To those of us who are Christians, it's yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, that you died on the cross for my sins. Yes, Lord, that you've called me to be your child. Yes, Lord, I understand. I'm not sinless nor perfect. But yes, Lord, you died for me. Yes, Lord, you don't want religion. You don't want my membership. You don't want my attendance. You don't want my singing. You don't want my vitality. You don't want my money. You don't want my house. You don't want my kids. You want my love. You want my relationship. This morning, can you say, and listen, can you say this morning, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Can you say that? If you can't, it's your choice, but it's your decision. This week, someone asked me, and maybe this applies to you, someone asked me this week, can you help me with this decision I have to make? And I said, well, let's hear what you're talking about. They gave their scenario, and I said, well, let me come back and ask you a question. And I think your answer to this question is going to be the answer to what you're asking me, and is this. With the path that is before you, can you, with all of your tenacity, throw it down and walk away from it, knowing that God is not in it? Can you know that for sure? Walk away from it. Can you just right now declare, I am not going to go in that direction. I'm not going to do it. And it was a whim, it was a thought, but you know what? And right when I said that, the person started shaking their head no. Or, listen, if you can't lay it down and walk away from it, then pick it up and go for it. And this was the beautiful thing. Watch. I don't know what I should do. Should I go this way? I think I should go this way. Maybe I should. I don't know if I should. I said, well, listen, put it down and walk away from it and don't ever go that way again. Oh, I can't do that. Then pick it up and go for it. You see what I'm saying? I told you don't want to counsel with me. You think you do, you don't. We have great men that are gifted counselors. My counseling sessions last about 7 minutes. This is our problem. What does the Bible say? It says this, do it. I'll see you later. Call me next week. Hey, that person, you could see the light come on. They got so excited. Well, I can't walk away from it. Then go ahead and do it. Give it in the hands of God and go for it. Well, what if I fail? That's not your problem. Go for it. Well, what if people think I'm foolish? Go for it. We don't question other things like that. Should I eat this hot dog or not? What do you think? What do you think about it? Should I try it or not? Go for it. You think I should? No, just put the, can you put the hot dog down and walk away? Just leave it and turn your back on it and never go, I can't do it. Then go for it. And eat it unto the Lord. What about your life? Can you lay it down before his feet? Can you give it to him? Give it to him. Go for it. Christianity is a verb. Do it. It's beautiful. Father, we ask you for help in the 9th chapter of this book of Revelation. Tremendous dark things, difficult things, but Lord, we ask that you would bless, lead, and guide us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. We're glad you could join us today for this amazing series. When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay. The book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So listen, here goes. It's socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody. And you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and true. He does his homework, and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So, Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.